Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
And we welcome in some more listeners to the Eric Ainge Show, like we do every day here, thanks to the Sports Monster up in the Tri-Cities, who carries 2 hours of the Eric Ainge Show every day. And we welcome all of you listeners in as well to the Let's Figure This Crap Out version of the Eric Ainge Show.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the Big Ten's potential decision, what implications those are. What will the SEC do coming up? We'll also take a look at that SEC schedule that was released on Friday. Let's talk about actually playing games and hope that that's the outcome coming up in a little bit. Because what does that schedule mean for Tennessee? Where would it be for Tennessee? That's all coming up. The Cleveland Indians had to send somebody home for going out.
Guy's an idiot.
I love that was their reaction. All right, well, you're done.
Well, dude, yeah, you can't be here now, so bye. So, he just threw six scoreless innings, too. He's a good pitcher.
Yeah, it's not – they didn't send home a scrub.
No, he's like one of their best pitchers.
Sent home somebody who's important because they couldn't follow the rules. It could be an example for more to follow. All of that and more coming up, but Eric, we do start. You asked an important question last hour. Why is this the bridge too far for administrators? Why did we elect that this was the issue that could shut things down when other things that seemed to be more serious at the time, concussions being one, didn't shut it down?
Yeah, answer that for me.
I don't have an answer for that.
Good, because there's not one. There's not one. People are so focused on... There's a place in our world for people to be thinking about potential bad outcomes. I understand that. If everyone thought like I did, it would be the Wild West again.
Yeah.
So I understand that that's the case. But I don't like how we've shifted in our country in a lot, not all situations, but in a lot of situations to the fear of something bad happening, then ruining something for everybody. And I don't want to try to think through examples right now, but I know that happens a lot. And every time it scrolls across my phone, I go, "Ugh." Well, that person right there is willing to be way louder and way crazier than I am. So I'm just going to shut up. I'm not willing to pick that fight. Not with that person. I don't care about it that much.
It's just not where we are.
I mean, it's not new, but it's been happening since
the 70s. It is.
I just wish everyone was rational. If you were a rational thinking person, then you would understand that there's calculated risk involved in playing football, period. When all the concussion stuff started happening and everyone started freaking out about that, remember, everyone was saying, well, just have them sign a waiver that says, I know that I could have significant brain injuries by doing this. And every one of them is still going to want to play football. Literally, the guys in the NFL, when all this targeting stuff started changing the game, there were wide receivers saying, whoa, 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 hit me in the head. Don't hit me in the knee. If you're going to go low and take my ACL out, you're taking my money from me now. And I have a very short period of time to make this money. I'm not saying that that's the smart, like, the smart approach. I'm just saying they know there's risk with you going high, and they prefer it because this is their opportunity.
No,
not all these kids that are, I don't know. The whole concept is, so are you going to cancel every class every time a student gets COVID? Are you going to contact trace and cancel all classes on campus when one kid gets it?
They are at some places.
And then those places don't need to play football if that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Again, I'm not saying anything's right or wrong here. I'm just pointing out what places are
doing. I wish we were more focused on solutions. And I wish we were a long time ago, but we can't change the past. It is what it is. We're sitting here today. I hope people with jobs and power way more important than I have the mindset I have, which is, how do we play? How do we do this? Think of solutions. Don't think of current laws, current problems, current restrictions. Put the game plan together for exactly what's going to work to get us to play, and then go backwards to try to figure all the loopholes and dot the I's and cross the T's and cross the bridges when you get there. Don't just look at the current set of rules and regulations that is and say, well, screw it, I guess we can't do it because then we could do it and we'll get sued. Just put it all together and say, this is what we're going to do, and then go from there. And I don't know, I understand in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, it would probably be the first time that that's ever actually like happened, come to fruition, and things passed and got done to where you're able to play football this fall, if you do it that way. But start doing it that way today. Even if you're just going to say, screw it and play. Start doing that. Go tell the NCAA where they can kiss you about not letting players sign waivers that they want to play football. Go readdress that, because that's the problem.
It is a problem. And I didn't...
Because 90% of these kids want to play. Look at the internet right now.
Yeah, they want to be able to sign something that says they can play.
Yeah. I'm not going to sue you when I get brain injuries. I'm not going to sue you when I get coronavirus, unless you're doing things to, like, make me get it, like, on purpose, or make me play when I have a concussion or something like that. Like, there is negligence involved in all sorts of medical treatment. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, well, and that's why they're in the place that they were. When you look at what the players tweeted out last night, the graphic, the first thing was, after we want to play football, was to come up with a comprehensive plan for testing and making sure that players are safe. The biggest reason that the NCAA last week invalidated the waivers and told schools they couldn't require players to sign waivers was because they didn't want to absolve schools that weren't doing it the right way or weren't committed to doing it the right way from liability. So I think there's a lot of responsibility on the parts of the schools as well to make sure that they're actually going to do everything that they can, and I think most will. But you've already seen with the Colorado State situation, you've already seen with some other schools that have had players say, hey, they're not doing what they promised. They're not doing what's right, and they don't have any recourse after they've already opted in to fix that. And that's an issue, but I think it's one that you could address pretty easily. Come up with some standards and make sure that there's a mechanism to actually enforce them. That's not easy, but it's also not so difficult that you couldn't have a season because of it.
Exactly. Now we're talking. This is what needs to be happening right now. This is what needs to be happening right now. And if you're Colorado State and you're gonna do stuff like that, guess what? I hope I hope everything backfires, falls in your face, and I hope you do get sued. I know that me personally, I would not ever. And like, I don't want to get into my whole deal, but like, there's probably not. No, I don't even want to go there. I just would never even think to blame anybody else for anything that ultimately is a self-inflicted problem. I want to play football. I know there's risks to playing football. I get it. These athletes are going to be 1,000,000% more dialed in to social distancing, wearing masks, washing their hands. Are you kidding me? They know that that if they get an outbreak, they're done. They're not going to be out partying. They're not going to be out doing stuff like that. They're not making millions of dollars like the pitcher for the Indians has, where he just has kind of a screw it attitude of I'll be fine if I get it in, a selfish attitude. I mean, it's a very selfish approach, that pitcher for the Indians that went out with his buddies in Chicago.
Yeah.
Very selfish, and I'm proud of the Indians for going, well, dude, you're not like off the team, but bye. You can't be around us for a while.
You're going home until you quarantine.
So you're an idiot. Bye. And you're not getting paid while you're at home. Yeah. College athletes want to play because they love the game, and this is their opportunity to show everybody what they've worked their entire life for. And when we keep it on there, this is all fall sports. We keep passing over that, but it's all fall sports. But in football, in the fall anyway, these guys have an opportunity. And in the Power Five that we're talking about, these guys have a chance to showcase what they can do and change their life and their family's lives forever. Even if that doesn't mean the NFL, even if it means a college degree. You know how many guys I played football with that were the first person that graduated from college? I mean, in almost every class, that's a lot of guys.
Yeah. Even in 2020.
Even in 2020. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even in 2020, that's the case. I mean, you're talking about a life-changing opportunity that I know we're not talking about canceling forever. I get that. But
how many guys, and again, I don't think that all these schools are going to be sending their kids home if there's not a season. But without the daily structure of football and without the incentive of playing games on Saturday, how many of those guys do you lose? And I'm not talking lose they move on from your program. I'm talking lose they move on from being in football and being in school and all of that.
Well, they're more likely to get the very virus that everyone's so afraid of, because they're going to be going, well, now what do you guys want to do?
Yeah.
Well, we could go drink some beer. Well, we could go have a bonfire. Well, we could go on a boat. Well, we could go see what those girls over there are talking about. Well, we could go million options, all that lead to way more contact with way more people their age. And not just being with each other in their, this sucks for all of us, but we're together. Teams would rally around it, man. And they would hold each other accountable. I guarantee you I would have been, like, crazy about that. I would have been all over everybody. We'd have treated anyone that wanted to be like the Indians pitcher, we'd have treated them like that. We'd have said bye. You know, Kurt Majit would have beat him up in the locker room. And said, you don't get to come back.
Yeah.
I don't care what the coach says. You're not invited.
Yeah, you're done.
You're done, dude. Just saying.
All right, when we come back, let's talk about the schedule that the SEC released. We will obviously have more on this later. We'll take your phone calls at 656-9900. I also want to talk about the schedule that was released, because if we do get to play football, whether it's next month or in 3 months, Tennessee's got a tough road to look at. We'll take your phone calls as well next. 656-9900, 866-656-9900. The Eric Haynes Show continues next.
I didn't really set myself up for it, but I did. I used all proper precautions, went on a golf trip with 28 people. We all social distanced to a pretty good degree. We played golf, and when we got back, 18 out of the 28 had the virus. And one thing you've got, you know, I've got a wife in healthcare. One thing you've got to realize is if you had 10 people with the same physiology, the same medical background that had other issues, there are going to be 10 different ways that the virus affects them. And we're so early in this that nobody completely understands it. Well, nobody really understands it. So when you think about a player like Trey Smith, who will, if the season starts, he's not going to play. He's being advised every day not to play because it could kill him. And there might be a 60% chance that it wouldn't, but the 40% chance is not worth it, and it certainly isn't worth him taking a chance on blowing his NFL career. And you're going to see a lot of players opt out. And I think what you're talking about is a bunch of three stars playing football during football season. Is that what you want?
Trevor Lawrence is going to be the first pick of the draft, whether they play football or not. And all he wants to do is play football.
Trevor hadn't sat down with an attorney and a financial advisor that will tell him that it doesn't matter whether he plays or not, he's going to get the same money on the other side.
He knows that. He knows that, Bob. He knows that. They're ball players. They want to play football. I've said it with Trey Smith specifically that I wouldn't judge him one iota if he doesn't want to play football because of this. And I know what you're saying is true. It does affect everybody differently. And that's why I'm saying it's not perfect. There's going to be some people that get it, and it's going to affect some people differently.
Beyond football. It's the unintended consequences of getting people. You know, I grew up a Tennessee fan. I'm not a Tennessee fan any longer, but I grew up a Tennessee fan. I know how it is up there. I know how it is on the strip. I know how it is around the stadium and tailgating. And you're going to have people that are going to try to blow the police off, and they're going to say, we can't handle this situation on campus with people, you know, confronting the police because they want to tailgate. You got so many unintended consequences.
If they say you're not allowed to tailgate on campus, we're not having.
And how's that going to go over?
I wouldn't care if we don't get to tailgate if we're playing football. I don't care. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some people that are going to be upset that they don't get to tailgate, but guess what? They're not going to tailgate, and they're going to watch a game on TV at home.
With cardboard cutouts and fake fan noise?
Probably.
Yes.
People are still watching the...
You don't think people are going to watch college football? Sure. Bob, you don't think people are going to watch college football if there's no fans in the stands?
Major League Baseball isn't the same right now, but people are still watching it in numbers greater than they were at the same time last year.
I watched more golf yesterday than I've watched in a long time, and golf's different too.
I just don't think there will be that kind of impact. People are watching hockey and basketball at the same level.
Watch the Caps win a hockey game with no fans in the stands yesterday. That point sucks, Bob.
Bob, we appreciate it.
No, I don't. That was awful. But whatever.
I wouldn't go there. But all right, let's talk to Jim next. Jim, welcome into the EA show.
Hey guys, I hope y'all are doing well today.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning to you. I've listened to this show since 1998. Well, listened to 99.1 exclusively since 1998. Never called in one time ever. So this is my first time calling in, and be patient with me if you could. I have a point I'd like to bring up. We know this has a 1% mortality rate. So we know now that one person is going to die. We know that one person at least is going to die. Now, I don't know whether you ever lost a child or not. I lost a child after 3.5 years of cancer. Losing one child, I would kill whoever caused it. I would kill them dead if I knew how to get a hold of them. If these presidents, if these universities let this go that far, then they're in trouble. Now, I love college football. I love it. I got my season tickets. I go to every game. I don't miss one, even if it's the lowly Rutgers or whoever we're playing. I go to all of them. Losing a child, no parent is going to accept, no matter what you do or say. And we know now we're going to lose one. That's all I have to say.
How do you know that?
Mortality rate is 1%.
I'm looking at in the state of Maryland right here. Looks like the number of cases in the age range of college athletes is 34,679. Total deaths is 22. That is a 0.0006% chance. That's not a 1%
guy
chance.
One person is, by the odds, one person is going to die. If you want to roll the dice, you can roll the dice. I don't mind. I want to see the college football. I would love for you to play no matter what. But I know that one person is going to die because the mortality rate is 1%, and I have 162,000
people. There's
going
to be kids on campus, Jim, that drink themselves and drug themselves to death.
I know, but we
know
they're going
to get in car accidents. They're going to go do everything else.
They're kids. They're not smart. I mean, really and truly, they're kids. And you're talking about an adult has to stand up and say, listen, one of you is going to die. I don't care what I do. And you got 162,000 reasons to say that.
All right, Jim, we appreciate it.
Jim, again, I don't appreciate it. That's awful.
All right,
that's the worst take
ever.
It's not.
It's a valid
opinion.
It
really is.
All right, we'll come back.
I don't think so.
656-9900.
You can live your life that way if you want to. I'm not. I don't live like that.
The Eric Haines Show continues next.
It's that they could get the coronavirus, and there's a chance that it could be, it could affect them, and they could be the example, and I could lose a child because they got sick because I sent them to school. And do you know who's got to live with that? Me. Because I'm choosing to send these children out in the world. If I don't want that to happen, I can lock them in the house if I want to. It's a choice I have because they're children. These kids in college are old enough to go serve our country overseas and serve in the military. They're legal adults. They can vote. They're choosing to do whatever it is they're going to do. The caller's point of, if I knew someone got my kid sick.
Nope, it must have been a take so hot it knocked Eric's mic out. We'll get him back here in a second. 656-9900, if you want to join us, let's go to the phones. Jonathan is up first. Jonathan, welcome into the EA Show.
Hey, morning, Brian. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, we're doing well.
All right. Hey, here's a question for you, and it, you guys may not have the answer for this right now, or, you know, it might not even be the first thing that crosses your mind, but what happens, let's say they do cancel the football season altogether, okay? We don't play football. We don't even play in the spring, okay? Next time we kick off is in fall. What happens, you know, for example, use Harrison Bailey. He's a freshman. Do they retain their eligibility as freshmen? And if so, what happens to the 2021 class coming in? You know, I see a big problem here, and this might be me just being selfish or, you know, as a football fan, it might be a good problem to have for the Vols, but, you know, you got Caden Salter coming in, and then you got Harrison Bailey. They're both going to be freshmen. I mean, everybody going to stick around for that? Or, I mean, I don't think they're going to increase the rosters. You know, it's just kind of my, you know, I hope we do have a season and this is a problem we don't have to have, but I just wanted to see what somebody's perspective was on this. I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, Jonathan, we appreciate it. I think that's the biggest question in all of this is, you know, beyond if there, let's just start and assume there is a season and guys opt out. They maintain their year of eligibility because they didn't play. They get a standard red shirt. If you've already redshirted, it becomes a little more complicated. The NCAA is going to have to issue some sort of blanket ruling, blanket waiver
that would make sure that anybody who opted out gets their year back. If there's not a season at all, I would assume that everybody, since they didn't use a year of eligibility because they didn't play, they would get it. But you bring up the great point of, well, that means that there's a whole roster of 85 guys that are eligible to come back, and you're trying to sign for Tennessee a full class of 25.
Jerry Garantano would be able to rent a car legally by the time he gets out of here.
Yeah, I mean, there are guys like that on every campus. So, you know, how many of them, and some of them are going to be able to, are going to be ready to move on with their lives and get jobs and all of that. But, yeah, I think if a season's canceled, you're going to have to do something to increase scholarship numbers. Because at least to retain your own guys, maybe transfers don't, you can't bring them in for that. I don't know. But they would have to come up with some sort of blanket waiver that would extend the roster size, because otherwise this coming class of 2021, this recruiting class, is going to be much, much smaller than anybody else's, and that's not fair to those kids either. I think that's a huge question.
There's so many unintended consequences right now if you don't play football.
Yeah.
It's going to be for years. There's going to be so many different things. Yeah, in every sport. Well, if you don't play football, you can't fund the other stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, from an eligibility standpoint, you're talking about every sport.
I'm sorry that I got cut off there. I was ranting and my computer screen went black, and when it goes black, it cuts me off. All I was saying is I'm sending my freaking kids to school every day. If they get COVID because I'm sending them to school, that's no one's fault but mine. They're minors, they're children. It's my decision to send them to school. I could keep them home if I want to. There's a virtual option, okay? Anybody that goes, like, if I went and found the kid that got my kid the coronavirus that ended up killing my kid, and I, like the caller said, and I find the person and kill him, then I'd be a murderer and I'd go to jail. Okay? That's ridiculous. That's all I was saying.
Let's talk to Tim next. Tim, welcome into the EA show.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, good morning.
Eric, 100% with you on this topic. The reason is, you can't hide from everybody, and that's what they want us to do. That's what I feel about it. I officiate sports myself right now. This is ridiculous. Wearing the mask, they're telling us what we have to do, what we can do, what we can't do. Bottom line to it is, we're still people. We still love one another. We still try to help one another. The problem is, that guy was completely out of line. I hate that he lost his child. But it's going to happen no matter. Cancer and heart disease, diabetes kills people every day. And the flu, it does. But see, the problem is people are buying into a bunch of hogwash. Now, I agree that it is there, but I do not agree with the numbers. I can promise you that, because I know somebody that went to church. 25 people got tested. Well, they didn't go get tested because they're out in the field and it's 95 degrees. So they come in. We'll come back tomorrow and get tested. All 25 got a phone call, said they tested positive. They're going to have to be quarantined. So it's all a bunch of lies. We're being lied to by a ton of people.
Well, and I don't even like the problem with the whole thing is like I didn't wear a mask last night. I went to get milk at 11 o'clock at night because we have a baby, and I went to get milk and I didn't have my mask on. I didn't realize until I was in the gas station. I was already in there and I was like, ah, crap. I don't have my mask on. I was already in there and it was 11 o'clock and I was tired and I was like, I'm not going to go back out to my car and get it. But like, I always do it, and I do it because I care about everybody else, and it's not worth it. I don't care that people tell me I have to wear a mask. I don't care. None of that matters to me because it's so much bigger than me. Everything is bigger than me, and I wish I don't want to turn the conversation to is COVID real? Is it not real? Are we being lied to? Are we not being lied to? I don't want to do that. I want to keep it on sports specifically today. And it's very important that all those players that are saying we want to play, they're following all of those rules and guidelines. That's important to note.
and they should be able to play.
For sure, and they should be able to play. Yes, you're right.
Thank you, guys.
I appreciate it. We'll come back. 656-9900. More of your phone calls on the other side on the Eric Haines Show.
I'm at right now.
Well, we'll try not to let that happen.
My feet are up, and I'm going to relax a little bit.
656-9900. Let's talk to Stan next. Stan, welcome into the EA Show.
Hey, Brian.
Morning.
Haines.
Yo.
Hey, Brian. I'm glad there's one adult in there. You know, I have a best friend that's in intensive care right now from this.
That's terrible.
And he's having a hard time breathing, and he's having a rough time.
That sucks.
Ange, if one of your kids, your wife, came down with this, do you think you might think a little different?
Well, I take it seriously. I don't think I'd take it seriously.
Uh-huh.
Of course I would.
Your football.
Of course I wouldn't like if they got it, but I'm sending my kids to school.
Uh-huh. Your school, they're getting educated. You're talking about a little football game is what you're talking about. A football game. You're worried about a football. We have to have football. You really think this country has to have football?
No, we don't have to have football.
You silly, you sound.
I didn't say we have to have football.
No, we don't. We don't have to have football. So
Stan,
let's get this thing better and not worry about football.
Stan,
let's worry about our friends that are in the...
I hear you.
I feel bad for your friend that your friend is sick. That's terrible. And I would not want anybody that I know to get it. And we practice all the stuff that we can do. My fam, we all wear masks. We have seriously decreased the amount of stuff that we go out and do and where the kids hang out. And they literally, my wife is like a sanitizer crazy person. We do the best we have. We have a baby at the house. We interact with a lot of people in our jobs, and a lot of them are elderly, and we take it very seriously. I'm not dismissing the importance of this at all. I'm just saying I don't want you to decide if they get to play football. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not deciding.
I know. I'm not deciding. The presidents.
These million that have this virus are deciding.
Here's where we're talking about football. We're not talking about the game. It's not just about... We want there to be a game for our entertainment. That's not where all of this is. It's
Ange. Can I say something right quick, Brian?
Okay, go ahead.
Ange, I'll listen to your show. I think you're the third best quarterback ever at Tennessee, and I respect. I think you're a great guy.
I respect you too. I'm not mad at you right now. I hope you're not taking it that way.
Yeah. It's just I just disagree with you. But, you know.
Exactly. We're allowed to do that, aren't we, man?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I take Peyton Manning and then Casey Clawson and you.
Hell yeah. And that's better than I put me on that list, so that's good.
And you disagree with that, but, you know, I think you are. But I just, if you could see Wayne, what my friend's going through right now, man, if you could see it, oh, my God. It's pitiful. It's pitiful.
I know, and that sucks. You know? And I really do feel bad for him, and that sucks. Tell him we're praying for him, man, for real.
Okay.
We appreciate it, Stan. I think the point is not that we want football just for our entertainment. It is the economic impact of all the things around it. Yeah, it's businesses around it, and I think that they're going to deal with their own issues now with there being fewer fans. But just having football means that hundreds of people just on Tennessee's campus stay employed, where they may not have their jobs if there isn't a football season this fall. Literally, at least 100 people that work in the athletic department. And that's 100 people with families and with jobs, with people that are contributing economically to this area as well. And it extends beyond that. It extends to people selfishly in the media that may have jobs that go away if there's not football in the fall. It's people that work for ESPN, both full-time and people that work just on weekends producing the games and camera operators. It goes down to those same people that do the same thing for basketball games and basketball employees, and that carries across the country. The impact of not having football is not just about entertainment for those of us who love it. It's about the jobs for all of those people that are around the game, and it's also the impact that it could have on kids that don't have something to ground their life anymore. You know, if, and I don't expect schools will just send kids home and tell them to learn
virtually from home. I think they'll leave dorms open. They'll leave apartments open. They'll support them locally to keep them in school and try to keep them as safe as possible. But there are kids around, there are college athletes around the country who will die if they go home, and not necessarily from COVID. And
thank
that's
you
the
for
reality
that
a lot of them
that
face.
Is a, that, that, is a rea- that is 100% a reality.
So,
100%. These guys are better taken care of. That's, and that's Trevor Lawrence's entire point. He was like, if you're worried about our health, playing football is the healthier option for most of us than just going back home and or being on campus without the strict regiment and guidelines and protocols in place because we're trying to play. If we're not playing, they're not testing us three times a week and keeping us in our dorm room or our apartment and monitoring our every movement by fear of everything. You know, God, I cannot imagine the speech we would have got from Coach Fulmer back in the day if this was going on.
Yeah. I think it's important to note that this discussion today that we've had and will continue to have is not based solely on the fact that we want to be entertained by these kids. That's not it. It's a lot bigger than that. And I think that that's a point that has to continue to be emphasized by the decision makers across the college football world. We'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls.
656-9900.
The Eric Haines Show continues with hour number three next.